Rockers in Recovery Media is dedicated to carrying the message of addiction recovery through music, news, events, and festivals taking place within and not limited to the clean and sober community.
Michael, Wes, or I'm sorry, Wes, how are you doing tonight? I'm glad to have you on the show.
Great. Glad to be back, John. I was just listening to your last show. Boy, this is powerful stuff. Since we last talked, my daughter's 14. A friend of hers lost her dad to an overdose. It's just, you know, as you said, it's such an epidemic. This work is so important that you guys are doing. So.
You know, it's nonstop. I mean, I was talking with a good friend of mine, Nick C., from Clearbrook last night, and he was in Baltimore and at a girl, 25 years old, passed away from a heroin overdose. And here's the reality. It doesn't matter. You know, she was from a very prominent family in Baltimore area and the Maryland area. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter, man, if you're from Park Place or Park Bench.
Right. Oh, it
just doesn't discriminate. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It doesn't. It's in your DNA somewhere deep down there, and it's anybody. It can be anybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, and here's the reality of it too. It's just like yourself. You know, when I first got involved with you guys and I started looking at what you had, and you were talking, at one point we were talking about rare diseases. Well, listen. When you actually look at addiction as a whole, it is kind of a rare thing. But most importantly, when it does occur in somebody's life, it's not just about somebody having an addiction issue. You can also just have an issue with painkillers because you injured yourself. So you might not particularly be an addict. But that's why these surveys are so important, because you're going to find that kind of information out. And I think that what Rare Patient Voice does is it gives an opportunity for a guy like me that is a caregiver or a patient to get on there and say, hey, listen, you know, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I've been dealing with, my addiction since 1985. And I get to be able to give you that information, and somewhere out there, there might be somebody looking for that information that can help other people. Is that correct? Is that how it works?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, for years, companies knew they had to talk to physicians. And that's important. They prescribe things. But finally, somebody said, wait a minute, what about the people that need treatment? We need to talk to them and find out what they need. Let's not see what the experts say. I mean, they need that. But let's talk to people themselves, because they're the only people that really know how it feels and what it means and what they're looking for. And so it's kind of an obvious thing, but it's taken a long time. But finally, people are like, let's talk to patients. Let's talk to their family members and find out what they think. And, that's a good thing, I think.
You know, if you're tuning in right now, we're talking with Wes Michael, and he's the president and founder of Rare Patient Voice. You can find Rare Patient Voice by going to rarepatientvoice.com. Click on the sign up button, click on about us. You'll get a whole lot of information there. Most importantly, you'll be able to, if you're a caregiver, you'll be able to help. And if you're a patient, you'll be able to give some great insight to what the needs are that you think the industry needs to change, like medical products or services, things like that. So it's a great opportunity for you to voice your opinion. Wes, what made you, do this whole thing? What did you wake up one day and say, you know something, I'm going to have Rare Patient Voice? How did it all come about?
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny, different things, right? Why do you do things in life? I had a 20 years ago, I had a client come to us. I was doing market research, and they said, can you build us a patient panel? And of all things, hemophilia, you know, very rare disease. People, a whole generation of, it's typically male patients, because it's a genetic thing, affects males 99% of the time. And a whole generation of those guys were wiped out. Because remember, when HIV started, they didn't really understand it. And it would be in the blood supply, and these folks all took infusions to replace blood factor to help their bleed clotting. And it wiped out a whole generation of folks before they realized what was going on. But anyway, so in the wake of that, companies were working on, they had much better treatments that did not have human blood in it. They had, you know, it was all cleaned up. They said, can you build a panel of hemophilia patients? And so, you know, like a lot of people, you go, well, I don't know, but we'll bid on it, right? We'll give it a shot. And we went to the hemophilia conference, and we went to different events, and we did that. And it was quite successful. They were able to get the opinions right from the patients. And somebody came to me a year or two later and said, hey, I hear you have this great hemophilia panel. Can we access it? And I said, no, it's a particular client paid for it. It's theirs. But in my mind was, hey, maybe there's a business here in you know, bringing these people together and making their opinions available as all these different companies and professors, all these different people are interested in it. So that was in my head for many years. And then it was only a few years ago where everything came together for me to do it. And you know how it is for a lot of things. A lot of times you have to be pushed to do something. I was working in a great little company, but the guy kind of overexpanded and he was short on funds. And he asked me if I would work for 3 months without being paid for the time being. And I thought, well, that's fair enough. Then I thought, you know what? If I'm not going to be paid, maybe I want to do something else.
Good idea.
And I had this in my mind, and everything came together. My wife had been raising the kids and hadn't been working. She had a job, so all of a sudden we had the health care, and I said, I'm going to give it a shot. And it's like one of the best things I ever did. I didn't realize what the demand was and it keeps growing. People, they realize they need to talk to the patients. And I was just down in Atlanta today. Sickle cell disease, you know, horrible condition that affects a lot of people, typically African Americans and Mediterranean folks. But the conference there, talking to folks, and a lot of them are signing up. And then tomorrow I'm at a mental health event in Baltimore. So there's no shortage of events, fortunately, to meet folks and hear their stories and give them a chance to sign up. Hey, John, I just see you sign up. I get a special thing with sign-ups, so I can look into it. I see your sign-up right here. So thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Matter of fact, that's why I wanted to go through it before we got on the air and do it so that way I could explain to everybody at the top of the hour how simple it is, because it is real simple.
It's easy, isn't it? It's just a few key things.
Yeah, very simple.
And we don't share that with anything. We use that ourselves so that we can target. So if somebody has diabetes or somebody has addiction or whatever, we don't want to bother them. I don't want to send them a sickle cell questionnaire if they don't have sickle. You know, let's not waste. Mm-hmm. So we use that to target folks, and then they can make a decision. But nobody ever gets their name. Nobody ever hears who they are, so they can express themselves and not worry about, you know, because health information, you don't want anybody to have your health information. You don't know what may happen with that. So we're like the firewall there. We know who you are by name, and we pay you when you do a study. But we don't see any of your answers when you do a survey and go in depth about it. And the clients do the reverse. They see answers, but they see respondent one, respondent two, respondent three. They don't know who anybody is.
Oh, that's cool, the way it works.
Great way to do it.
Anonymity end of this thing was really cool. When we did our first interview and the people that I talked to up in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, when you guys did our event up there, you know, really, really were elegant about how they, you know, Kirk and the other lady, I'm sorry, what was her name again?
I think Chantel was up there.
Chantel, she's a great lady.
Yeah.
Forgive me, Chantel, if you're listening.
Terrific.
Love you. So in the meantime, both of those folks were so like laid back in how they approached me and talked to me about it and really opened my mind to it because, again, you know, it's all about health and education and getting people the information, and this fit perfectly for what we were doing. So, and now you're back with us. You're going to be doing, of course, the upcoming event that's going to be happening.
Yeah, the 101.
We're looking
101
forward to
Club. Tiffany and Dean are going to be there. I think they're great.
Oh, really?
Part of their, Tiffany's. Yeah, Tiffany's a teacher, and she does a lot of work for us, and Dean's her husband, and they're, like, really looking forward to this thing.
You know, the other part of this that is really kind of cool is that the people that you have that go out and approach other people are people that are, you know, in some cases are suffering from illnesses themselves, and they've gone through this whole process themselves. So it isn't like you're just, you know, out there talking with somebody that hasn't been through an issue themselves, that they had to go through this process and help be able to educate the doctors and the industry.
Yeah, that's been really, really rewarding because these folks, so many of them have various conditions, and I say it's much better than me blathering on. I mean, we've all been touched by this, by a lot of different things, but knock on wood, fortunately, I haven't personally, but all these folks that have stuff, it's much better for them to say, hey, I've done this, I enjoy it, you guys can do it too. It's much better, and we have folks now all over the country helping out with this stuff, and it's better than me flying around, that's for sure.
Go figure. So I'm sure the wife likes that a little bit better, you being home. So.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure about that, but in theory.
Yeah, mine usually packs my bag and says, okay, I'll see you when you get back.
Sorry, you have to go. Don't hurry back.
Listen, this is great. Wes is the president. Wes Michael is the president and founder of Rare Patient Voice. And, of course, if you're tuning into the show, you can go to rarepatientvoice.com. And it's helping patients with diseases voice their opinions. And this is a really cool thing. You go there, you can click on the About It, tells you all about it. You can click on the sign up, and you get a free gift for signing up. All of that's explained, and it's real simple. I did it in less than 3 minutes before I got on the air. So
Good. I'm glad to hear that. We're trying to keep it simple. And you know what? We have a request in, right? We get requests all the time for different studies, and we have one now. I believe a lot of these are like an anonymous, hour telephone interview, so it's great. You can really express your opinion. But we have one now. They're looking for folks in opioid rehab, recovering from that. So
really?
So now I get a gift card. We'll invite people to do that, and we hope to have folks because they really need to hear it from the people themselves that have gone through it or have gone through it, and how it can be better.
You know something? I'll make sure I put that out on the blogs tomorrow, so that way people can see that they can sign up, and I'll let them know that they're looking for people, and that'll maybe help the situation.
Yeah, sign up. We'll look for it right away, even before. Sometimes because as you say, you get a gift card, we sign up. Well, we have to go through all the signups. It can take a couple weeks to go through those. But if someone signs up with that condition that we have a study for, they may get invited to a study, pays $100 before we're able to even get them a gift card. So it's like sometimes it happens in reverse order because just the demand. But
this definitely is a way, and there's a situation, as you heard it before you came on the air. There's a situation that definitely needs to have patients out there being able and caregivers being able to let products and services know exactly what needs to be done, because I think there's sometimes a hole in that, and the only ones that can fill that hole and give the answers are the patients and the caregivers. So, on the opioid crisis,
yeah.
it definitely needs the exposure that you're talking about.
It's like you were saying, what is it, 144? I don't know, but that was between 60,000 a year. I mean, 50,000 were killed in the whole Vietnam War, and everybody went crazy over it. This is 60,000 a year. These are our best people, young people of all ages. It's like this needs to be put at the top of the list. I mean, we got to fight terrorism, but how many are killed by terrorism every year? 20? I mean, again, I don't want anybody to be killed by that, but this is the most important thing. Car accidents are, 30? I mean, it's nothing tops this. So,
no, it's scary.
Listen,
the conspiracy theory in me says, okay, listen, we have Mexico and we have China and we have other organizations, other countries out there that would love to kill off a generation. That's conspiracy theorist in me. You know what I mean? But here's the problem. It might not be a theory because all of it's coming from either Mexico or China. You got carfentanil, you got fentanyl, you got all of these drugs that are out now that, hey, listen, when back in the day, Tom, Wes, when I was out there doing my thing, I got to tell you, Wes, that I didn't have to worry about. Yeah, hey, listen, people
died. Right. You could have some problems, but you probably weren't going to wake up dead from it.
and now it's just like with everything they're cutting it with, and the massive exposure to carfentanil and fentanyl and there's so much that needs to be done, and it's organizations like Rare Patient Voice that can give the voice to the patients and the caregivers.
Get the word out.
Please, guys, if you're out there tonight and you're listening and you need to put some information about your crisis and what you're going through, Rare Patient Voice might be able to help. So give them look up. And go to rarepatientvoice.com. You can also find them at Rare Patient Voice on Facebook. So check them out. And again, I want to thank you guys for your support of Rockers in Recovery and our events and getting out there in front of the public and letting people know that there is education and hope, and we do it through music, and now we get to do it with a rare patient voice.
Well, that's terrific. We're excited to work with you guys, and as I say, this is at the top of the list right now. People are starting to realize it, but this is the most important thing the country's facing. We got to work on this. We got to save these people. So.
Absolutely. Thank you for being on the show tonight, Wes. We're going to have you back on after the event, and you know, we'll talk a little bit after the event. But most importantly, I can't wait to meet your folks and to, you know, help some people. Looking forward to it.
That's great, John. Keep up your good work.
All right, brother. Thank you for calling in. Okay. Thank you for being a part of Rockers in Recovery, and we will talk soon.
All right. Have a great weekend.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, guys. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. If you get an opportunity, go to Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Tim Ryan did a little bit of a show tonight on Rockers in Recovery. It was a 30-minute show that he did. Great information there. We had great information tonight from Hope and Grace, from Thomas Dean, CEO, Hope and Grace Recovery. I want to thank them. You can find them at hopeandgracerecoverycenter.com, 888-836-HGRC. That's their phone number. You can also go to Rare Patient Voice. Of course, it's rarepatientvoice.com. Check them out. Read the about. Sign up. Real simple. I did it tonight, 2 minutes before, 3 minutes before the show. God bless everybody. We're going to go out with a good friend of ours. His name is, of course, Mike Zito. Mike Zito, the bluesmaninrecovery.com. Check him out.
my love. Girl, I wanna be your man, baby. I'm gonna show you what I made of. Well, I'm gonna shed this skin. I'm gonna rise above. Yeah, you see, I'm gonna change. Change my way. That's what you want from me. Change my ways. That's what you want from me. But how can I change something that I just don't see? How can I change my ways?
Tim Ryan here with the Man in Recovery Foundation. Just got in from Arkansas. Want to let you know, Rockers in Recovery is having a big event November 11th at the 101 Club in Pompano Beach, Florida. Going to have a ton of music, fellowship. I have the opportunity to come down. I get to speak, share a little bit of hope. Really excited about this event. So if you are in the Florida area, Palm Beach down to Miami, Lake Worth, whatever, head to the 101 Club. Starts at 2 in the afternoon, $10 entrance fee. Come on in, share some fellowship. Again, I will be speaking there. Really honored to be able to come in and be a part of this. If you want to follow me, you can check us out on Facebook, From Dope to Hope. Or check out our foundation, www.amirf.org. Or for my full-time career, I'm a National Outreach Director for Transformations Treatment Center out of Delray Beach. We will also be a sponsor for this event. Look forward to seeing you then. Have a great day.
Rockers in Recovery Radio is based on opinion only and is not meant to treat or diagnose any health or mental health issue of any kind. If you feel you need help for any health-related issues, please contact a physician or mental health professional. The opinions expressed by our guests are not necessarily those of Rockers in Recovery.